I'm joined in the studio now by Rob Riley, a comedian and comedy promoter from Oldham, though I'm sure we can forgive him for that. Rob, hello.
Hello.
How are you doing today? Are you well?
I'm very well indeed, thank you.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very, very much for coming and joining us here in the dungeons of Hebden Radio.
Oh, I've been in worse dungeons. This is a very nice one. Very well appointed.
Yes, well, you've actually worked in or been on radio shows yourself before, haven't you?
Yeah, many years ago we used to do stuff on 96.2 FM back in Oldham. We used to do a show called The Weekend Shambles, which, well, lived up to its name, really. It was two blokes with hangovers, basically talking the first thing that came into their head for sort of a couple of hours on a weekend morning.
Ah, I see, so sort of like two blokes on a sofa chatting rubbish at the end of a night kind of thing.
Pretty much, yeah.
Sounds good. So what actually got you into comedy in the first place? Just briefly.
I was at Glastonbury Festival in 1994. Mm. Not somewhere I'd ever wanted to go, because I just thought it'd be all druids with beards and didn't think it'd be me. And a mate of mine bought me a ticket. I've not had a particularly good year. And a friend of mine just bought me a ticket and said, right, you're coming. And dragged me down there, kicking and screaming. And you know how Glastonbury can get. I think the ley lines must have interfered with me a little bit, because I ended up having a very good time. And I'd been up at the Stone Circle, and I was wandering down, and it started raining. So I went in this tent and to get out the rain. And in this tent was introduced to people like Ian Cognito and Sean Locke, and it was the cabaret tent, but they also do all the comedy.
Of course,
I just thought, this is amazing, and this is what I need to do.
Fantastic.
So I sort of booked in, went back a year later, still not done anything about it. And again, I was in a bit of a state, and I started heckling, which is never a good idea when there's comedians there. And I was dragged on stage by a comedian, and he said, look, if you think you're funny, you do better. Gave me the microphone, and I started telling a few jokes, and everybody laughed. So my first show was actually to about 1,500 people. But looking back, I mean, they were obviously laughing more at the absurdity of the situation rather because of any great comedic skills that I had. So I thought, right, I'll give it a go. And the guy in question was a comedian called Dave Thompson, who went on to become Tinker Winky, the Teletubby.
Well, that's quite a jump. That's quite a leap from comedy through to children's entertainer.
Yeah, and then I sort of started doing open spots, as you do, sort of places like the Frog and Bucket, etc., around Manchester. And I was doing a lot of the smaller nights and realising that some of them were incredibly badly organised, and thinking, surely somebody could do a better job of this, which is sort of what, through a long and complicated route, got me into promoting nights.
When you did your first open mic show, how terrifying was it?
Some are more than others. Well, the Glastonbury one, I suppose, was technically me first, but I wasn't... I had no fear at all about that one, probably part of the problem. The ones after, yeah, they are very nervous. Mm. But it's what comedians call stage time. It's just getting used to being on that stage and relaxing.
Yeah.
And it's very rare that you'll do a show and people will laugh at every single joke. Mm. Very rare. And it's just knowing that confidence when something falls flat, that's okay, we've got something else in the minute, keep smiling and keep it going, and that's what makes it work, basically.
Yeah, because you do see some of the newer comedians, especially in the open mic nights, they'll get out there, they'll do a couple of jokes that don't quite work, and then all of a sudden they're sat there silently thinking, woo!
And you see the fear in their eyes, yeah, you see the terror, yeah.
So from that, you actually got involved in Off the Rails in Oldham, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I was working at a big posh restaurant, and the guy who owned the place said, you do a bit of comedy, put us on a comedy night. And I said, okay, then. He said, how much? So I gave him a figure. And I got in contact with a mate of mine, Mick Furry, who's a long-established comedian.
Yeah.
And he got in touch with a couple of his mates. It was a Tuesday night that the boss wanted, and this was at the White Hart at Le Gate. And just so happened that two of the acts were free that Tuesday were... Justin Morehouse,
nice.
who's very well known now, of course, and Toby Foster. And at the time, they were in a sitcom called Phoenix Nights. So I watched the boss sell 180 tickets, sort of 15 quid a head, in the space of about 12 hours, and thought, maybe there could be something in this. So we did a few more there, then they sort of stopped working there, so I set up my own night at a pub about a mile away, a little pub called The Railway, hence Off the Rails. And that's now in its 16th year. Is that
still going strong as well?
Still going strong. We moved to a bigger venue about 8 years. We're at the Royal George in Greenfield, and we've just doing all sorts. I mean, we've had all sorts of people there. We've had John Bishop's been there, Sarah Millican. Well, there's still a few on the get list we've not had, but we have some big names trying stuff out. For instance, we've got Chris Ramsey coming up at the beginning of February.
Yes, of course, because he is warming up for his next tour.
That's right, yeah. So we did quite a few tour warm-ups. And we just do normal shows with all the comedians. I mean, a guy we've had up, I can exclusively reveal that it's looking the 29th of January, we'll have Dave Johns, who is, of course, the star of the new Ken Loach film, I, Daniel Blake.
Wonderful. That is absolutely great.
Dave is somebody who's been there, coming up there sort of every year for years, and nobody knows who he is. Now he's had this massive amount of profile with the Ken Loach film, so, of course, he will now sell 20 times more tickets, which seems a bit unfair, really, because he's no better a comedian than he was a year ago. And, I mean, the guy's excellent, but it is a bit strange how the public buy, really. They like to think that a comedian's got a bit of TV behind them or a bit, and that's not necessarily the case.
It's almost like it's more the public presence of the comedian rather than their strength as a comedian.
Yeah, exactly. It's bizarre. I mean, Ian Cognito has never done television and he's probably one of the best comedians I know.
Yeah.
But he doesn't sell tickets because he's not done telly. But people who've seen him will come and see him again because they know they're in for a great night.
Do you find that's a difficulty when trying to put on comedy nights in general? When you've got a set of comedians that maybe haven't got that TV or internet presence, when they come along and they're on a show, do you find it's more difficult to sell tickets for those kind of nights?
Can be, but there's other things that can make a difference. Well, such as the night of the week can make a huge difference. If there's anything on that week, like, for instance, last year, Halloween has become, every year is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, meaning it's very difficult to sell tickets on Halloween. But what we did with our Lancaster show this year is we put on a couple of comedians who are quite dark and did it as a Halloween themed evening, and it sold out. Whereas the other show, it's like Mother's Day as well. That's another one. If you don't look at it about 6 weeks, think, we've got Mother's Day on that night. So all you do is you just email your database and say, look, everybody, bring your mum to this. She'll love it. Rather than ignoring it, if you actually tackle the problem head on, then it usually works. Usually.
Fantastic.
9 times out of 10. Fingers crossed.
Have you had any... I don't mention names or anything, but have you had any comedians that you thought, I don't really want to work with them again?
Yes.
Simple question, simple answer. Right, so we are going to talk about the Ring Out the Clowns comedy special that was put on not long after the floods that happened in Boxing Day last year. So tell me a little bit about how you managed to get all of that together so quickly.
Well, what happened was, it was a drinking accident. It was Boxing Day, the day after Boxing Day, and I was on holiday. I was on a beach in Egypt, having a rum and coke, lying on my sun lounger, minding my own business. And I got a text from a comedian, Martin Moore, who lives in Tobenden. And Martin's going, are these shows going ahead, like, tomorrow? I'm going, yeah, of course they are. Well, what's up? He went, you've not seen the news, have you? I thought, ooh. So I got up, went to my hotel room, switched on BBC World News, and saw a minibus upside down floating through the main streets of Sowerby Bridge, and thought,
I've got
a feeling our shows may not be going ahead this week. So Sportsover said, listen, the venue's okay, but you can't get to it, so we're going to have to pull the shows. Cancelled all the comedians. And I felt a bit guilty, actually. I was sort of sat there in Egypt, lovely weather and everything, all-inclusive booze, thinking, if I was actually back home now, I could get in the van, throw a shovel in the back, get some wellies and go and help people out, because I've got a lot of friends in Calderdale. And then I carried on drinking and did some more drinking and further
drinking.
As you drinking.
Do.
And then it got to about, I woke up slightly drunk in the morning and thought, I know what I can do. I can put on a comedy night. And I sort of came over old Bob Geldof and thought, so I started emailing about 7:30 in the morning, forgetting it was actually 5:30 UK time, but there you go. Sent a few emails out saying, listen, don't know if you've seen the news, but we want to put a big show on. So we sent all this out. And then the replies started coming back. First of all, the venue came back, the Victoria Theatre, and said, we've got 1,500 seats, so you can work a deal out on. I said, OK. I said, right, let's have that. And then I think the first two people on board were Justin Morehouse and Sarah Millican, who said, yeah, count us in. And then it sort of snowballed. and lots of people were coming on board. The problem was finding a date when the theatre was free and we could get enough comedians together.
Absolutely, I'd imagine you were aiming for the weekend date to try and get that.
Well, not really, because when you've got acts of that standard, you can do it any time. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be a Friday or a Saturday. And if anything, it's probably a bit better because the audience are a little more sober. So I think we ended up on a Tuesday in the end.
We did,
yes. Worked out fine. And I mean, the lineup was phenomenal. The best one we got, we'd sort of got it half together. Then Johnny Vegas's PA got in touch and said Johnny wants to do this.
He's flying by a last minute thing,
yeah. And I mean, also there were all the people who wanted to do it and we just couldn't fit in, such as Stuart Lee, Daniel Kitson, Jason Manford. All these people got in touch. Dave Spike, and we wanted to get in, but it was just finding one day which would make the best bill.
Absolutely.
And then I was sat at home one morning, the phone rang, and hello, is that Rob Riley? Yeah, it is. Who's that? It's Rory Bremner here. I believe you're doing a fundraiser for the floods in Calderdale. Yeah, that's right. He said, count me in, no arguments, and disappeared. And I didn't know the guy from Adam.
Bonus.
So that was brilliant. So yeah, it was a good night. We raised $60,000.
£60,000 from that night. It was absolutely wonderful. And the reception that yourself got at the end, and I saw you, the terror in your eyes when you were dragged out on stage by Justin.
Yeah, that was quite horrific. I didn't know that was going to happen. I just wanted to curl up and die because I was there on the stage with 1,500 people staring at me. I didn't have a microphone, which
you couldn't
unusual.
Heckle back.
So yeah, it was like being stood there naked. It was terrible.
So from that, in the next week or so, we've got the show on the 27th of December at Sowerby Bridge.
That's right, yeah.
That is at the... Which folk is from?
It's at the Hogshead Brew House.
The Hogshead Brew House.
Just on Stanley Street, or just off the main road.
And that was moved from the works, with the works actually closing down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who's on for that show?
We've got Character Comedy from Marlon McCabe with his character Troy Hawk, who is absolutely immense. We've got all the way from down south, we've got Paul McCaffrey, who is, you've probably seen him on things like Russell Howard's Good News, stuff like that. Really good comic. I like him. He's like a 21st century Tony Hancock.
He was also in Impractical Jokers as well.
He was in Impractical Jokers,
yes.
That's correct. And he was also in the hooligan film, what's it called? Green Street,
the West Ham one.
Yeah, so he's been violent with hobbits. And we've got Jenny Collier, who's very good. And then we've got the 2014 Edinburgh Fringe Panel Prize winner, Mr. Phil Ellis, comparing. So, it's a great lineup. And that's if people want to find out more about that, if they go to sowerbycomedy.co.uk, all the information is there. And please buy some tickets, or else I'm going to starve.
Wonderful. And talking about
award off me.
Talking about award winners. What award have you just won?
I've just today been named as Best UK Independent Comedy Promoter, which is I'm rather chuffed with.
And this is a relatively new award as well.
It's the first time it's been done. About that, comedy's basically riddled with awards, and they are usually there to promote somebody's website or somebody's comedy club. You know, they will have a regular comedy club and they'll put some acts on, have their own little awards. They're usually there purely for promotional purposes. And often they don't make sense. Often they seem to go to people with the biggest database rather than the most talent. And a few years ago, a comedian by the name of John Maloney, about 3-4 years ago, said, right, I'm going to set up an award, but you can only vote for it if you're in the industry.
Yeah.
So in other words, you've got to know your stuff. And John set up, and the first winner was... Mick Furry, who's a very good friend of mine and a fine, fine comedian.
A wonderful comedian, yes.
Yeah, and then last year's winner was Zoe Lyons. Mm. So the winner every year gets to curate, if you will, the next round of awards.
Yeah.
And Zoe decided to put in Best Comedy Promoter, because we don't really get recognised that much, which I thought was a good idea. And rung me up this morning to tell me I won it. So I've never won anything before. So I'm rather pleased.
Absolutely. And how do you expect to receive the award? Is it going to be a big glitzy do in London?
Well, traditionally what happens is with the comedians, what they've always done, they've always handed it over at a service station, because comedians, obviously, by dint of all the travel involved, spend a lot of time at service stations. However, with me being a comedy promoter, I'll probably get an aspiring open spot to drive it up from Brighton. That's an in-joke for anybody in the world of comedy. So no, I think it will probably come in the post.
you also, obviously, as a comedy promoter, you have your own company, I Want a Comedy Night.
That's right, yeah.
So if people are looking to put an event on, what's the best advice you could give them?
Number one, speak to me.
That's
absolutely essential, because what we will do, if we don't think it'll work, we'll tell you.
Yeah.
It's key that we have a look at the room. The rooms, the production of the show. You're far better off with decent comedians at a well-run night than amazing comedians at a badly run night.
People yes.
have got to be able to hear, they've got to be able to see, the show's got to be run properly. So the room itself is paramount. You know, the room, it's, if you've got loads of pillars and stuff and people can't see properly, they'll get restless, they'll get disengaged from the show. It'll be a car crash, you'll have wasted your money, your customers will have wasted the ticket money, the comedians won't be too happy, nobody's happy.
And there'll be no rebooking.
So what we do is, if we go and have a look at the room, if you're absolutely miles away, you know, the other end of the country, then there's other ways around it. We'll get you to video the room and send it us, and we'll tell you whether we think it'll work.
Yeah.
And we also supply, as well as just comedians, if required, we also do the PA systems, the staging, backdrops, lighting, so we can do everything. And again, if you need other stuff, if you need, like, press releases, posters designing, social media doing, online booking systems. We do everything, basically.
Wonderful. I mean, I've worked with a couple of other comedy promoting groups that don't go quite into the same level of detail as you do. For me, when I booked it was, we will take X amount of money and we will provide these comedians who you then have to pay on the night.
Yeah.
And that is the limit of our involvement. Everything else you have to do yourself.
Yeah, which is no good, you see, because that can go very badly wrong when there was no need for it too, because you could have had great comedians but the show's not run.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's people. My argument is there are people out there who do that, and they've never run a gig at their own financial risk. Now, we have 4 shows a month that I run at my financial risk. So I know what sort of seasonal fluctuations are, what's working at the moment, what isn't, who to book, who not to book. Whereas these guys who just offer a booking service only, if they really did know what they were doing, they'd be running their own nights and making the money on that as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you have any good relationships with other comedy promoting groups, such as Manford's Comedy Club, who put shows on?
Mainly, there are quite a few, and on the whole, we all get on. We usually manage to operate reasonably harmoniously. Some people can be a little less respectful about where they're promoting than others, shall we say.
No names named.
That's caused one or two problems in the past. But, you know, after the odd death threat's been issued and stuff, things usually go back.
A few horses' heads in the post.
That sort of thing usually works out. On the whole, it is quite an honourable industry. I think in the last 3 years, because things have tightened up in the last few years for everybody,
generally.
Not just with sort of austerity and people not getting pay rises and stuff. As that's happened and less people are going out, some people have shown their true colours, which have been a bit harsh, and others have carried on as gentlemen.
So, Rob, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for coming in and having a chat. So, wish you all the best with Christmas and other generic festivities. The show next coming up is the Tuesday 27th at the Sowerby Bridge Hogshead.
Yep.
So if you do want tickets, go down. How do they get tickets, by the way?
You can either pop in. The Hogshead is open after 3 o'clock every afternoon. They've got tickets behind the bar. Or alternatively, if you just go to sowerbycomedy.co.uk, you can book online there.
Wonderful. So do all those things. Get the tickets, get down and enjoy a wonderful night's comedy. And let's keep comedy going strong in the valley. Rob Riley, thank you.
Thanks very much indeed.